May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Greetings to you, my family in Christ, brothers and sisters, saints and sinners, children of God. I am pleased to be here at Hope Lutheran Church. I have heard a lot about you. Now, having just graduated from seminary this past May, I've been in candidacy, and the contact that I had with the Sierra Pacific Candidacy Committee was none other than Pastor Deb Butler. So I know a little bit about you, even though I've never been here to visit, and it's an honor to be asked here to visit with you, to lead worship service with you today. Now, being a candidate for ministry, I am not really as young as some of my classmates were when they graduated. Most of them are in their 20s and 30s. I am myself the late age of 47. I'll be 48 in December. And while that's not really old, I also have lived quite a bit of life to get to this point already. I started my candidacy at 43, and I had done quite a few things before I entered into candidacy for ministry in the Lutheran Church. Now, I'm proud to say I have nearly 10 years of recovery also from active drug and alcohol addiction, and I'm continuously involved in working a 12-step recovery program. This is annoying me a little bit. All right. You see, I want to stay in a place while working that program. I want to stay in a place where I'm not actively thinking about risking myself falling into the same trap of using that I did so many years ago, the abysmal cycle of using, regret, determination to get clean, then forgetfulness, and using again. You see, me working a program keeps me from getting back into that place that I was many years ago. And part of that is making sure I know where my head is from day to day. And a part of that is having people in my life who are what we call newcomers, grappling with the same issues that I had many years ago. The obsession and compulsion and the vicious cycle of using day in and day out over and over again. Seeing those people, caring for those people, understanding those people reminds me of the bondage that I had when I was trying to get out of that cycle. The logical leaps and bounds that I used to justify continuously putting hazardous chemicals into my body, be they drugs or alcohol, over and over again while experiencing the same results each and every time I did it. There were days that disappeared out of my life when I was using. I would call into work sick just for the convenience of using, missing appointments or forgetting to do basic things in my life like taking medication, sometimes even forgetting to brush my teeth. There were strains I put in relationships in my family, my co-workers, partners, and people who might have been something more had I not been using, but didn't want to get to know me. And then there was the long recovery periods afterwards, days sometimes when I wouldn't even feel like getting out of bed. And those times I would make a vow to myself never to pick up again. That I was a man grown and the strength of my will alone would keep me from going down that path again to the edge of dereliction and degradation. And that would work for a few days, maybe a couple weeks. But as the depression that associated with recovery periods gave way to day-to-day life and a semblance of normalcy that I was living, the memory of my misery would decline. And in order to feel any entertainment, any joy or happiness, I would have to have that external stimulus, and I would do it vis-a-vis drugs or alcohol rather than for my virtue of just plain living life. I had only that one way of entertaining myself. The compulsion always overcame the negative memories, and the web of self-denial that I had weaved around me was always too much to escape from the bondage that my addiction to drugs and alcohol and the associated lifestyle had over me. And it was a bondage that I could not displace myself from by virtue of my own power. It was a bondage that kept me miserable and kept me from seeing that I could have a better life, that there was actually a better life. It kept me seeing that the drugs and alcohol were my problem, not somebody else, not my job, not where I was living. And that kind of bondage to addiction is something that easily millions of people experience all across the United States. The dependence on something that is patently harmful to themselves, and yet the denial that they are in any way being harmed by it. People live as slaves to an addiction that tells them that they need each other, but ultimately harms them and everyone around them. And it is not so hard to imagine from that standpoint, it's not so hard to imagine when somebody has that kind of complacency, the belief that they're better doing the same thing over and over again, despite the fact that they're obviously harmful to them, to thinking about the children of Israel when they're sitting there in Egypt and their complacency while Moses is calling them forth to tell them that there is a better life awaiting them. All they have to do is follow him into a wilderness of pain and suffering. But to stay, they would rather stay in that life that they know because it's what they know. It's where they know they're going to wake up the next morning. Despite the fact that Pharaoh is working them to the bones, despite the fact that they are slaves to the whims of the Egyptian nation, it's still, you know, we'd rather keep doing this day in and day out than have to go through what you're presenting us with. So here we are at the Red Sea, and the crossing of the Red Sea. I'm sure that there's probably not many people in here that haven't heard some version of this story in some way or another. Most of us have heard many versions of this story. And if you haven't heard it in Bible study or Sunday school, we've seen it in the media in some way or another. Now, I believe that a good portion of the people in this room right now remember a movie called The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. And I'm among that group. But, you know, if you consider yourself part of the millennial generation, you probably also remember a DreamWorks animation entitled The Prince of Egypt. It had this wonderful, the parting of the Red Sea, the Red Sea would part, and the kid would walk down, and there'd be whale, there was this lovely whale that was swimming through the waters. And if you're not old enough to remember that, as there's a few people in this room, just wait till this December when a new account of the Exodus will be released called Exodus, Gods and Kings, starring Christian Bale. And so we know this story from Pharaoh having changed his mind about letting the children of Israel free. He chases them to the edge of the Red Sea, and the people are terrified. They have Pharaoh bearing down on them. And here's this wall. Here's this sea in front of them. What are they going to do? And they're angry at Moses for leading them out of this life of maybe not comfort, but at least some semblance of security. They're accusing him of sending them to their doom out there in the middle of nowhere. And then God tells Moses to have the Israelites forge ahead. The sea parts. And he tells them to go into the parted sea and cross over to the other side. Take one step after another while Pharaoh and his chariots pursue them. Now, as we know, the story goes, the recounting goes, that the wheels of the chariots were stopped and the Israelites are saved when the waters come crashing down around Pharaoh's army. And so it's not only in the media that we recall it, but many, many other places in the Bible as well. In the next few books in Deuteronomy and Numbers and Leviticus, we hear references. We hear references in the prophets. We see references in the Psalms. There's even mentions in the New Testament where God says to his people, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt." And these children of Israel who are called out specifically because God is with them through this tribulation. It's also important to note that even though the children of God eventually have to battle, they have to send their forces out, they have to, in order to claim the land of milk and honey that God has promised to them, here, at the edge of the Red Sea, the only thing God is telling them to do is walk forward. Just move. Escape. God is in charge. The Israelites don't have to fight the armies of Egypt. They only have to take a step, one step at a time. Face their fear of these huge walls of waters, of the wilderness ahead, and to let God handle the armies of Pharaoh. And that giving it up to God, I find it relates very much like my drug addiction, that I could not escape that bondage of addiction on my own. I finally had to give in and put my faith in God, to surrender to His will, to give up my will, and let God do the fighting for me. And that meant allowing other people in my life. That meant allowing people to help guide me and give me strength, who knew what was up, who knew what I had to do much better than I did, because I consistently failed on my own to get out of that place I was in. I had to give up my comfort and my complacency, that day-to-day existence that I was living. I had to make time for a potential emotional wasteland that I would be going through, because I didn't know how to make myself happy anymore. And I had to find time to let myself be depressed and let myself be sad and not know how to recover from that and deal with those kinds of emotions. It was not something that happened quickly or overnight. It didn't take 40 years, but it did take some time for me to get past it, and dedication, and some pain. But God was with me, for me, through the whole process. And just as He is there for so many others, people trying to get clean, and even as I engage with those newcomers in my life and watch them suffer and grow and get better and healthier, so I am encouraged by the love that God has for His people, His children, those that finally put their faith in Him. And it's not just for people with drug addiction. It's people with all sorts of other things that they are finding themselves in bondage to. Because although the children of Israel did not turn and fight, they still took action of some kind or another. God said, I will deal with this. Tell the Israelites to march on. They couldn't stand in one place. They had to move forward. It's just how it is to escape from the bondage of addiction. God provides. We make the decision to put one foot in front of the other, to get a move on in our lives, to take the step to get out of the situation that was harming us and make our lives hard. But this wonderful event is filled with so much more to heal and help us. Because just as the waters of the Red Sea washing away the armies of Pharaoh, we also have God to wash away all our sins. We have Him at the waters of baptism, how He continues to wash away our sins with the covenant that He has promised us in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the same love that God has for His children, His chosen people. So that love is brought to us to rescue us from the bondage of sin that we can be beholden to through the wondrous gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And just as God led His people of Israel to a land of milk and honey, free from the bondage of those Egyptian overseers, so He can lead us, all of us, into health and happiness, free from the bondage of our addictions, those things that are in our lives holding us back that we don't want to give up, but know we have to. And the things that we often embrace that lead us into harm, God can lead us out of those. He rescues us from the power of sin. He claims us as His chosen people. God grants us new life in His holy waters, making us His new creation, and promises us a place in His heavenly kingdom. God sets free the captives, releases the slaves, and He grants us pardon from our sins. We have only to take the steps to move forward, to get out of the way of His miraculous power. We, His people, through the awesome death and resurrection of His Son, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, have been invited to receive a place in the presence of His glory in life everlasting. And this, my brothers and sisters, is the good news of a God who stands with His people, who rescues them, us, from the bondage, and helps us through discomforts and struggles in our life today, helping us to become the wondrous creation He meant us to be, to love and serve each other in the world, and to live into His glorious kingdom in this world and the next. Amen.